It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Joe Biden welcomes Donald Trump to the White House with a warm smile and a handshake and a promise of peaceful transition. They get along great. They chat for a couple of hours. Gee, I guess Trump wasn't a Nazi fascist after all. Are you catching on? The statement that Trump's supporters are garbage and fascists, spoken by so many Democratic politicians, by Joe Biden, by Kamala Harris, from the mainstream media. It was spoken by people who simply do not take their own words seriously. It was a talking point. It was a campaign rhetoric. Not that it's completely discontinued. In the case of Kamala, she gave this concession speech that everybody's saying was gracious. But if you listen to it carefully, she kept saying, we're going to have a peaceful transition of power. But did you notice the way she said it? We are going to have a peaceful transition of power. We, in other words, unlike Trump, a peaceful transition of power is important to democracy. Hint, 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 hint. Unlike January 6th. Meanwhile, Biden looks like the cat who swallowed a canary. Why not? He was taken off the ticket in a coup, practically. Now he feels vindicated. He's smiling because he wants the narrative to be that he could have beat Trump, unlike Kamala. No, you wouldn't have, Joe. In fact, you didn't even win the first time. And that's why I don't feel too sorry for Joe. Everybody's saying he was taken off the ticket in an undemocratic manner. That may very well be. But he became president because his party cheated. That was undemocratic as well. But anyway, Biden and Harris are both talking about peaceful transitions. The governors, the Democratic governors, not so much. They're making it crystal clear that they do not intend to work with Donald Trump, at least not as far as immigration is concerned. They're declaring war. Governors from states such as California, New York, New Jersey, and Colorado are vowing to fight Trump and protect their people. You come after my people, you're going to have to deal with me. What bravery, what heroism. It's like something out of Braveheart. Such chivalry, protecting their people. What they mean is protecting their sanctuary cities from deportation. How about instead protecting your citizens? How about helping them escape rioters and thugs who burn down buildings instead of telling the police to stand down like you did in 2020? How about protecting young women from being raped just because they took a jog through the park by somebody who was caught and released from jail again and again and again, charge after charge after charge, a person who shouldn't have even been in the country in the first place? How about protecting stores from looters instead of allowing up to $1,000 worth of goods to be taken before calling it a felony? Now, I know, in California, they finally woke up and they got rid of that law, but that was because of a ballot measure. No thanks to Sacramento. No thanks to Governor Newsom. And while we're still on the subject of a peaceful transition to power, 2 weeks into the election, Senator Casey still isn't conceding. Gee, I guess that makes him an election denier. That's a narrative we heard the last 4 years from anybody who questions the 2020 election. And not just deniers, they're insurrectionists. Casey wants a recount in his race against GOP winner McCormick. In fact, Casey's attorney wants to count ballots from unregistered voters. Chuck Schumer at first refused to allow McCormick to attend Senate orientation. He relented. when GOP senators said they'd just escort McCormick in anyway, and Schumer was free to try and stop them. Well, Schumer's next maneuver was pleading with Republicans not to take advantage of their victory. Remember, you still need to reach across the aisle. You still need to remember the minority party. That's the Democratic playbook. Whenever they win, elections have consequences. And you know what the consequences were going to be if they won this election they expected to win and planned to win? They were going to pack the Supreme Court so that we didn't have just 9 justices, and most of them were going to be Democrats with their ideology. They were going to get rid of the filibuster. They were going to make D.C. and Puerto Rico states so Democrats in the Senate can have a permanent majority. They were going to get rid of the Electoral College so that Los Angeles and New York City would basically decide all future elections for the entire country. Now, you can't get rid of the Electoral College without a constitutional amendment, but they had ways of getting around that. After all, to them, the Constitution is nothing but an inconvenience to their power. So these are the kinds of things Democrats were going to do if they won. Again, when they win, elections have consequences. When they lose, when they find themselves in the minority party, the American people want bipartisanship. No, they don't, Schumer. The American people want you out of there. And frankly, the American people want the rhino Republicans who compromise also out of there. My friends, these politicians talking about bipartisanship don't really believe in it, don't really appreciate it. If they did, they would congratulate President Trump for truly reaching across the aisle. Elon Musk did not vote for Trump last time. Robert Kennedy had been a Democrat. Tulsi Gabbard had been a Democrat. But these and other cabinet picks are causing a Democrat media meltdown. You'd think the election was still going on. The media is in a frenzy over Trump's cabinet picks because they are all people loyal to him. Gee, imagine that. Trump picked people loyal to him. Why, oh why, would he want to surround himself with loyal people? Could it be that because last time he was naive enough to believe that if someone was a fellow Republican or a respected general or a trusted head of agencies such as the CIA or FBI, that they wouldn't turn on him with lie after lie, hoax after hoax, all of which have been disproven? Could it be a result of Biden's so-called Justice Department raiding his home at Mar-a-Lago, even to the point of going through his wife's underwear drawer? Could it be because of an incompetent compromise Secret Service protection that resulted in 2 assassination attempts? Now, the media shows grave concern for the nomination of Pete Hegseth to Secretary of Defense, describing him as unqualified because he's just a Fox News host. Yeah, well, if he picked a host from another network, I suppose they wouldn't be as concerned. Maybe he should have nominated Whoopi Goldberg or Joy Behar. Just a Fox News host. What they're conveniently forgetting to tell you is that before becoming a Fox News host, Hegseth did combat in both Iraq and Afghanistan and received 2 bronze medals. He's also written a book about the current state of our military and its evaporating recruitment because of the focus of learning to defend our country being compromised and watered down with seminars on using the correct pronouns. Now, to be fair, I'm sure Russia, North Korea, Iran, and China would think twice before attacking an army that knows its pronouns. They're just shaking in their boots. By the way, have you noticed that the world situation changed overnight just with the election of Trump? He hasn't even been sworn in yet. He hasn't even begun. Already, Qatar is kicking Hamas out of the country. Hamas says they want peace with Israel. Iran says, what's all this talk about wanting to assassinate Donald Trump? We never said we wanted to assassinate Donald Trump. But perhaps the biggest meltdown over Trump's picks will be seen with Matt Gaetz's nomination for Attorney General. Yes, another person loyal to Trump, a former Florida congressman who defended Trump during the impeachment, during the Mueller investigation. Now, during his nomination process, you're going to hear very little talk about his actual qualifications, and he has them. He's an attorney, he has the background, he has the debating skills, he has the fortitude, but he's been accused of something related to sex trafficking. And so, of course, that's all you're going to hear about. Now, look, I don't know the man. I have no way of knowing whether he's innocent or guilty. If he's guilty, then of course he should not be our attorney general. That's the understatement of the century. But I don't know one way or the other. I do know he's supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. I know he's denied the charges. I know that outspoken and fearless conservatives are often taken down with false accusations, because people cannot win debates with them on the issues. Look at what happened with Brett Kavanaugh. I know the Biden Justice Department dropped the case against Gates. And if anyone was motivated to take out Gates, it was the Biden Justice Department. They dropped the case. I also know we have many rhinos still in Congress, Republicans in name only. And I want to remind you, they confirmed Merrick Garland. The rhinos. Merrick Garland, who headed the most weaponized DOJ in history. If the rhinos confirmed him, they have an obligation to confirm Gates. But I don't think that will happen. I hope it does. I'm not holding my breath. Now, if we really wanted to focus on a scandal coming out of Florida, we'd get away from Matt Gaetz and take a look at what went on with FEMA. A FEMA official, by email, directed hurricane relief workers in Florida to avoid homes with Trump signs. This story broke from the Daily Wire. The person has since been fired. She's admitted what she did, but she also said this was standard policy, that this was not an isolated incident. I believe her. I believed her before she even said that. Just look at her email. It was so casual. It was on a list with, make sure you bring a bottle of water with you. Oh, and avoid homes with Trump signs. It was so casual. Obviously, she didn't think she was going to get in any trouble. Obviously, she wasn't aware she was violating any policy. The problem is they just got caught. That's all. And then just watch for the volcanic reaction to Trump's cabinet picks Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. They're going to head up and create a whole new branch of government, a branch of government to dismantle about half the government. I don't know that they're going to be able to pull this off, but I sure am looking forward to them trying. They will, and this is their own words, work outside the government to dismantle bureaucracy, slash excessive regulations, cut wasteful expenditures, and restructure federal agencies. Man, I like the sound of that. But you know who doesn't like the sound of that? The agencies. The people, the deep state employees who survive administration after administration, they're just always there and they do what they want. Or more correctly, they follow the Soroses and the Obamas. Dismantle government agencies that are wasting our tax dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, those are fighting words. With that alone, we will realize that the election, victorious battle as it may have been, was only a battle. The war, and I mean the legal war, is going on. Every liberal lawyer in the country is just salivating right now to sue the Trump administration. They're salivating as if they're about to eat a steak. Or they would be if they weren't working for the party that wants to abolish steaks and have us eat bugs for the sake of global warming. Well, let's take a look at just a handful of programs that they're going to consider getting rid of. A study of butterflies in Europe. Well, you like butterflies, don't you? And it only makes sense that something going on in Europe should be paid for with American money. Here's one. $350,000 to study smart toilets. Smart toilets. Do they flush? Then they're smart enough. In San Francisco and New York, people would be happy if toilets were just being used at all, period. There's also money to study the effectiveness of seatbelts and helmets in Ghana. I can save us all some money. Take notes. Seatbelts and helmets work. Yes, indeed, you have a better chance of surviving an accident with a seatbelt or a helmet than you do with surviving without them. Wow, I just saved our government a bundle. Maybe I can work for Washington. And the State Department awarded $20,000 for drag shows in Ecuador. Okay, you wonder how important drag shows are, but did I mention this is in Ecuador? Oh, our tax dollars are paying for this in Ecuador? Whoa, you didn't explain it like that. And the hits just keep on coming. $3.7 million for monkey gambling research. I know you think I'm making this up. I wish I was. Now, I should say, if $3.7 million was being used to see if monkeys could handle Washington better than people, that might be worth a look. By the way, true fact, Do you know what they call a pack of baboons? They call it a congress. Now, that's a zoological designation that was made years and years ago. The person who did it had no idea how prophetic he was being. But wait, there's more, much more. $459,000 for cat research in Russia. They probably want to see why cats do nothing but eat and sleep all day and how they could manage doing that in a tyrannical government. I don't know. Just a thought. $39 million for equity, diversity, and inclusion. Of course, inclusion means exclusion, the exclusion of anyone who doesn't think exactly like they do. Moral standards from the Bible are not allowed. It also excludes white, straight people from being allowed to live dignified lives. Instead, they're to be accused of racism because of things their ancestors did, or even if they can't trace their ancestors, they're white, they're racist. Or accusations of homophobia because they don't happen to agree that it's a good idea at the library to have drag show story hour for children. But we aren't only concerned about human diversity. There's also money set aside to study transgender monkeys and $175,000 for the study of the connection between cocaine and risky sex habits of Japanese quail. Did you catch that? A connection between cocaine and risky sex habits of Japanese quail paid for by your dollars. If things get any crazier, it's going to be the subject of a new Disney movie, Woke Disney, the most trusted name in family entertainment. And speaking of trusted names, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear. Balls of party rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
A I love November. I think of November as the pre-Christmas season. And of course, November's own official holiday coming up soon, Thanksgiving. Well, we have an annual tradition here in the Bob Siegel Show about how to celebrate a politically correct Thanksgiving. And here to tell you all about it is our own Smiley Miley.
Hey, kids. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And even though the actual holiday is Thursday, we're going to give you Friday off too. When you add in Saturday and Sunday, it will seem like a four-day holiday. But you would have gotten Saturday and Sunday off anyway, so it's really a two-day holiday made out of a one-day holiday. Isn't Thanksgiving fun? Thanksgiving is a different kind of holiday than Christmas. We don't use the word Christmas anymore because the word offends the five people in our country who don't celebrate Christmas. Not so with Thanksgiving, because no matter what people believe, everybody still loves to eat. So have a great time with your parents around the big dinner table, stuffing your little faces with turkey, pumpkin pie, cranberry sauce, and candied yams. And unlike Christmas, you can even say Happy Thanksgiving to every one of your little playmates. But be careful and make sure you don't tell them who we are being thankful to. Because if you did that, you might have to explain that the first Thanksgiving was made up of pilgrims who were thankful to God. And we don't talk about God anymore because talking about God makes people upset. And it makes them afraid that those who don't believe in God will be arrested and put in jail. That would never happen, but people are still afraid it will happen. And, well, you don't want people to be afraid, do you? Of course not. So don't talk about God unless you want to call him Allah. Then it is okay, because people don't worry about being arrested in America for not believing in Allah. They just worry about being arrested in all the other countries if they don't believe in Allah. Now I know what some of you are thinking. What if someone asks me what the first Thanksgiving was all about? How can I explain that without mentioning God? Silly. There are all kinds of things to mention about the first Thanksgiving. You can mention the Mayflower. You can mention the Pilgrims, so long as you leave out the part about them coming to America for religious freedom. Because mentioning religious freedom means we will lose our religious freedom. But there's plenty more to talk about. Talk about how wild the original turkeys were. And talk about the Indians who were friendly to the pilgrims. Calling the Indians friendly is always a smart and sensitive thing to do. Only don't use the word Indian. Use the word Native American. Then people will smile at you instead of accusing you of hate speech. Oh, one more thing. If people ask you why Thanksgiving is a holiday, be sure not to tell them that holiday means holy day. Otherwise, you'll have to explain what's holy about it, and we'll be right back where we started. Well, now that you're up to speed on your etiquette and courtesy, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and A Day at the Beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Gotta love it. Burl Ives. That is Burl Ives, isn't it, Brendan?
Actually, that one's Michael Bublé.
Oh,
actually,
didn't Burl Ives make that
he
one?
He did the original. Okay. That's correct.
Look who thinks he's Jim Barrier. By the way, Jim Barrier will be back next week.
I am so looking forward to it, especially near the holiday season.
Absolutely. That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And of course, as you've noticed, per our tradition, we like to start Christmas a little early on the Bob Siegel Show, playing Christmas bumper music in November. And if the ACLU doesn't like it, they can, well, I can't tell you what they can do because there are FCC regulations. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, and trust us, now that the FCC is in pretty good hands.
Oh, that's right. Trump just appointed a new head of the FCC.
Yeah, exactly.
The times are a-changing.
I know. Luckily, we don't have big, goofy Reese's Cup head of FCC dude there. I couldn't stand that guy. But now we are all good with Trump's new appointees, I would have to say. I'm very happy with all of his selections. Some of them surprised me, and then some of them I'm like, yep, I saw that coming a mile.
But
away,
I'm not
sure.
surprised that he picked people loyal to him because they really stabbed him in the back last time. He was trusting and they said, well, this guy's a professional, this guy's experienced. So he went in there and got blindsided.
Yeah. So there's a few things I wanted to talk about prior to my main topic I wanted to do. Biden has become the first president to visit the Amazon rainforest today. He went all the way out to Amazon rainforest to talk about climate change and how it's destroying.
He probably
them.
Thought he was visiting Amazon.com and they didn't tell him exactly where he was going.
Where's the factory? Where's Jeff Bezos?
Where's the CDs? Where's the books?
And then I was just going to ask the people out there if there's anybody here who cares that Biden went to the Amazon rainforest. No, not a single person sounds like, oh, well.
I'm excited to see him go somewhere and not come back. It could be the rainforest, could be any place.
And look, for me, the thing is, why'd you waste our tax dollars going there? You're not doing anything left, and you're going to be leaving in about a couple months. So.
Yeah, they also just increased a bunch of their energy regulations, which will only last 2 months. It was a way of sticking it to Trump.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's part of their peaceful transition of power.
My second thing I wanted to mention, you know, one thing we never mentioned about how these election results came about, in my opinion, I have to say, conservative radio is a big, big advocate. I don't know if you've been noticing like radio ratings for conservative radio. They skyrocketed.
Well, for many years now, conservative radio and to some degree, things like Fox News have been what they call the new media. And of course, podcasts.
Yes.
Joe Rogan finally endorsed Trump at the 11th hour. But I think he was warmed. He voted for Biden last time. But I think he was warmed by Trump's three-hour interview. And a little ticked at Harris for not. By the way, did you hear that Harris didn't do the interview because she was afraid that the leaders in her campaign would be upset?
Yes, I did hear that. And
that shows a lot of backbone for someone that wanted to be president of the free world.
It definitely surprises me, too, the fact that conservative networks, specifically Fox, I noticed, they were saying, you know, one of the big reasons she lost the elections because she refused to go on the Joe Rogan podcast. Like, that's the end all.
She was
going to
lose anyway. And exactly. If I had been one of the people on her team, I wouldn't have said, don't do it because I'll get upset. I would have said, don't do it because you're going to be on for 3 hours and you can't stretch out the fact that you came from a middle-class family for 3 hours. You'll sound like a blithering idiot over the air. That's the reason you don't do it.
We already overworked our chat GPT. We can't do it anymore. That's it.
Kamala, we've got as much mileage out of you as we can get.
But going back to it, like, again, there's a rise in how many conservative talk stations there are. And again, the popularity, I think that's.
Let's hope AM radio stays a thing. That's
I hope
part
so too.
Of it too.
But luckily, they did pass the AM Radio for Everyone Act. So hopefully that continues on. It's just.
Of course, automakers have got to agree to put it in the cars.
Exactly.
Too,
right? Like, we were just talking about Rivian in Dave Stahl's show earlier today. No AM radio in there, not even satellite radio. It's just
FM. People want to be connected to podcasts and. They want yeah, MP3 players. And the last time I bought a brand new car, which was a few years ago, they had to find one that could still play CDs.
Wow.
I said, I know we're in the age of MP3s, but I study my Hebrew on my CD player. I need my Hebrew.
Yeah. And the third thing I wanted to talk about super quick, Alex Jones, you're familiar with him. I've talked about him a couple of times.
Refresh me. The name's not ringing a bell.
He is a very conspiracy theorist talk show host. Okay. He has a program called InfoWars.
I've heard of the show InfoWars.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. He was in a lot of hot water last year because the parents of the Sandy Hook victims, they sued him for liability because he kept saying, oh, it's a staged event and the government took care of everything.
Yeah.
So he had to pay millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. And thus he had to file for bankruptcy for his InfoWars.
Okay. That's coming back to me now that you talked about that.
So yeah. So
is there some latest development with
there him? Is. The actual InfoWars brand, everything, was put up for auction. And get this, The Onion won the auction of all people.
Now, I like The Onion, or I have liked it. They're pretty to the left politically these days, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But
whereas the Babylon Bee would be more on the right.
But the fact is, The Onion's a more parody site, I would say. Like, they go to the extreme.
Make
fun of things.
Even Saturday Night Live is occasionally funny these days, whereas for the last 10 years, they haven't been funny at all.
I just think, I get that most people most liberal people viewed Alex Jones as a very comedic guy complaining about the water.
Was he being tongue-in-cheek or was he serious?
No, he was serious about this stuff. Like, he had a segment about the water that was in Flint, Michigan, and he had a whole segment where he was saying that the water was making people gay, apparently.
Water was making people.
He's like, and it's turning the frogs. The frogs are turning gay.
Reminding me of an episode of The Office where Jim was messing with Dwight and he told him about a device he could get called Gaydar, which would act like a radar to detect gay people.
Yeah. I'm very, very surprised that that site particularly won. But at the same time, due to his behavior that he usually has on the radio and on his show, I'm not surprised at the same time that out of all the companies that won the auction, they won. So we'll see where InfoWars goes from here. So let's get into our main topic. You talked about the national results last week with
a little bit about California with the ballot initiative about the looting of the stores.
So today we're going to take a look at how everything went locally here, either in San Diego or even more forms of California. So I think we're going to start off with the minimum wage increase. This actually kind of surprised me. We had a 51.49% vote, so it was actually pretty close. And no, we will not have a minimum wage increase in California. That is quite interesting. I thought
and it's not that hard to do the math. Minimum wage means people will lose their jobs. What part of that are you not understanding, folks? Because less people are going to be paid if you start telling the employer what to pay them. Or they'll be put out of work by a robot.
Absolutely. It's something like that, too, because AI is like increasing.
Yeah, AI doesn't complain about minimum wage.
That's true. But you know what happens when you increase minimum wage? Other prices start increasing. Your eggs, your milk, your bacon.
Somebody's going to pay for it, and it's going to be the customer. People will get laid off or fired, or their hours will be cut, or AI will take over.
Yeah. Another one, statewide elimination allowing involuntary servitude in jails. That was a 53% no and a 47% yes. We also have the statewide constitutional right to marriage. It was a 63% yes and a 37% no. So I thought that was already a ruling, I thought, that we were allowed.
What happened was in California, when they were trying to perform gay marriages, there was a ballot measure that defeated that. That people said, we want marriage to be between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. Then it got overturned by a court.
Right.
Claiming that it was unconstitutional. So then we had another ballot measure which changed the California Constitution defining marriage as being between a man and a woman. And then the court ruled the California Constitution as being unconstitutional compared to the federal Constitution.
I will never understand.
So now I guess they were trying to go back and codify, but apparently there was language in there that could do all kinds of other things. It wasn't just about same-sex marriages anymore.
That's what I heard.
I heard that. I didn't study that one very carefully, but I would not be surprised with all the deceptiveness going into the ballots. But apparently, you don't find this mentioned specifically, but apparently the language language was so open that you could marry anybody you want.
Yeah, even that, like
that people said, can I marry somebody that's a minor? There are places in Europe now that don't have any problems with adults having sex with minors. People are afraid that kind of thing could come in there. There have been people talking about marrying their pets. I mean, there's a, you marry PETA to this woke movement, and that's going to be the next thing. People will marry their pets. So again, nothing like that was spelled out in the bill, but the language apparently was so loose and open, people were afraid. So I would not have wanted to see that pass. But whether it would be that bad, I can't speak to, but I still would not have wanted to see it.
Right. I would have to look at the vagueness of it too, because I thought that was a little too extreme with some of the commercials I was hearing on the radio about it. But if that was the case, then obviously I would be voting no in it.
Well, you know the media. So there's only extremism from the right. They never seem to see any extremism from the left.
No. There was a 69% to 31% in statewide increased sentences for certain crimes. I'm okay with that, because I think if you...
I didn't think California had it in them to prosecute anybody for a crime.
That's true. Statewide permanent funding for Medi-Cal. That one I had an issue with, only because go back to the vagueness part of it. It was very vague on what parts of the Medi-Cal policies they were going to increase.
I tend to go down those ballots, and if it's a new tax, no matter how good they say the tax is going to be, I tend to just not vote for it.
And then
I don't trust the government with our tax dollars.
Not to mention, do you know who, they said no one's opposing this, but do you know who was okay with this? And they stated there was only one person in there, Planned Parenthood.
So, oh, well, that persuades me.
I mean, obviously, that's just telling you what they were going to go funding.
They are just the pillars of virtue, Planned Parenthood.
Statewide restrict prescription drug revenue spending. Yes was a 51% and no was 49%. It surprises me because, again, they were thinking that, oh, we can spend as much as we can now on prescription drugs, when the no should be saying, so we limit how much money these prescription drug companies can spend in order to do that. And that means we can find tax dollars to save somewhere else. Because you know how much debt California is in?
A lot.
Exactly. Last thing I was going to mention too here before we head to break. The statewide local government can enact rent control. 60% say no. 40% said yes. I was kind of surprised. I thought we were big advocates for rent control in the state. But apparently people have done their research and know that rent control is just a lot.
And it's a difficult one. I think we've talked about this before. I don't like the government getting involved and telling people how much rent to charge for their property. But on the other hand, I've seen real dishonest things done with rent. So I kind of see both sides on that one.
I vote against it only because with affordable housing, when you say affordable housing, you're going to have to match what the market is for that rent control price at that time. And keep in mind, the market prices change up and down, but with rent control, it's going to stay the same at that one strict price, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to want to just be
in favor of the private business. Right. That's my natural inclination.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it, but doesn't that sound kind of communistic a little bit?
Could it be communism? Bum, bum, bum.
I know. But making everything the same and like pay the same and the
rent
is
communism
the same.
Has always worked so well. It's flourished.
Well, coming up next, we're going to talk about more local elections, specifically here in San Diego area, in the county of San Diego, instead of the whole statewide thing. So please stick with us and we'll be right back.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
So like I said earlier, we are going to take a look at some of the localist elections here in San Diego now. Let's start off with up in Oceanside, because this is quite interesting here. There is a very tight race for Oceanside mayor. We have Esther Sanchez and Ryan Keim. And get this, they're at a 50% both. Right now, and literally as of Friday with the last counts, there is just 30 votes separating the two of them. That is like to a tiniest hairpin of how close this is. The interesting thing I want to point out, though, is that the registrar's office said that they have 56,000 ballots still yet to count at this point.
I do not understand this. Why do we have such incompetence to count votes? How difficult can it be? I understand we're exasperating the problem with allowing a certain amount of time for mail-in ballots to come through, but still, it's been 2 weeks.
Not to mention, they say that any request may be within 5 days of election certification, which is on December 5th. Again, that's such a long time to figure this whole thing out. So what are we doing? A lame duck situation right now where we're just going to be stuck in limbo up in Oceanside until then? It's ridiculous how long it takes.
It's not rocket science. You just count them. It's been 2 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. And please do it sooner, because this is, it, again, getting ridiculous.
I want to go back to Election Day one day. Maybe give everybody the day off, make it a holiday to make it easier to get to the polls. One day and stop all this nonsense. It just makes it too hard to cheat.
So Cajon Valley Union School District, number 5. This was a really, really contested one, especially we've had, there was a show on before called Gun Owners Radio, and they were hugely advocating Jim Miller. Well, good news for them, Jim Miller did win that election with 47% of the vote, followed by Ode Youssef at 30% and Alex Willing with 23%. So good job to Jim Miller for that one. And then also, this one kind of disappointed me a little bit, the mayor race. Unfortunately, we still have the same mayor as the previous election for San Diego.
So, well, he's done such a fine job.
Yeah, you could tell by everything that's been happening here. Let me tell you. Some other ones that I will shout out. Carlsbad City Council, we have Teresa Acosta beating Greg Day, 56-44. And then we also have Chula Vista Elementary School Governing Board, Lucy Ugarte beat Charmaine Estolano, 70%-30%. That was a huge, huge vote. Mayor of Coronado, John Duncan, is 46% with Casey Tanaka at 42%. And Mike Donovan being 12%.
Do you have the final percentages for Bill Wells? I know he didn't win, but...
Yes, I do have those final percentages.
Did they finally finish counting that one?
I believe so, yes. Sarah Jacobs had 192,000 versus 124,409. And percentage-wise, that's 61-39 between the two.
I was disappointed that my friend Bill Wells didn't win, and not that many people knew he was my friend, so he should have still won.
Yeah, but at the same time, that was a very uphill battle he had to face. Yeah, that district is... really, really against him, per se. But you know what? It was
the country's slowly turning redder, maybe next time around.
Yes, it is. But one of the things I want to mention, too, is the fact that while maybe California did not vote Republicanly, per se, they are choosing a lot of conservative policies.
If you look at the map, even though California voted for Kamala and is technically a blue state, most of the map is still red right now.
Exactly, yeah. And I would also state that, too, about national stuff. There was a lot of conservatives, whether it be the House and the Senate. Republicans won the Senate and the House. But if you look at certain propositions, they were all very liberal propositions that were winning in some areas. That was quite interesting to see, too.
Yeah, so. And too bad that about Steve Garvey. I can't believe that Adam Piece of Schiff won instead.
Okay, I almost had to hit the dump button on that
one. I knew exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, it was disappointing. But again, it's a very long hill climb. We're going to get there at some point, in my opinion. But it's going to be taking a while, that's for sure. La Mesa City Council, that's actually kind of close here. But Lauren Cazares looks like she might win over Suzuki, 32-31% with 12,342 and 11,732 votes. Alessio is at 29%. Let's get Alessio out of there, please. I'm begging you. And Sean Townsend's in last place with 3,100 votes there. And anything else of note to mention? It's a lot of just, we kind of figured out that that kind of thing was going to happen. But the Oceanside one is very depressing to see that that many votes still have to be counted up to this point. Like you said, we're 2 weeks into this and we still have 56,000 votes to count. It's ridiculous for that one. So interesting things here and there, especially on the state policies, for sure. We will have to wait and see how the rest of this goes. But yeah, so it's Todd Gloria that won against Larry Turner, by the way. I just want to mention that one more time. But yeah, that was very depressing to see. So last thing to mention today. Oh, it was my birthday this week.
Well, congratulations. Thank you. How old are you now?
I am now 29, the big 29.
Wow, the big 29.
Yeah. So we went to Hotel Del Coronado.
Oh, how fun. Did you stay in one of the antique rooms?
No, no. We took a tour around the area.
Oh, just a tour.
Yeah. Now, the one thing
I love going there at Christmas time.
I did not know about this. Yeah. Marilyn Monroe stayed there.
They filmed the movie Some Like It Hot there. Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis.
I was going to mention that to you. So have you seen that movie before?
I have seen it years ago. And of course, Frank Baum, who wrote the novel The Wizard of Oz, used to live at the hotel.
Really?
They used to have pictures of him in their museum telling stories to kids on the lawn. He designed the chandeliers in the crown room.
That's cool.
The author of the novel version of Somewhere in Time was basing it on Hotel Del Coronado. When they made the movie, they picked a hotel of similar design, but it was from the Midwest, because in the movie, you're supposed to go back through time to the 1800s, and too many planes were flying over to the Navy Yard.
Oh, geez.
And they couldn't film it there. But in the novel, that was based at the Hotel Del. So there's a lot of art and history there too, which I really enjoy.
And then a lot of presidents apparently stayed there too.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of them. Roosevelt, Hoover,
George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter. I don't know if they said which rooms they stayed in. They just listed a whole bunch of presidents that used to stay there at Coronado. So I was kind of, I think
Bill said, I was disappointed that Marilyn Monroe wasn't still living around here.
Oh, and Barbara Streisand was there too, by the way.
Oh, you gotta love Babs. Just sing Babs. That's what you do best.
That's it. That's it. But no, I've never been there before. So
You had never been to the Hotel Del?
Never.
Oh, wasn't it a great experience? It's one of San Diego's treasures.
It's actually one of the most beautiful
places. Go back out again at Christmas time. And as far as Christmas lights go, and I love the neighborhoods that are just all done up like a carnival.
Shout out to Starlight Circle for that.
Yeah, I love that. Starlight Circle is my favorite one. But there's such a thing also as less is more. And when you drive around the homes in Coronado with those quaint colonial style homes and the lights are just barely on, it's a whole different effect.
Oh,
and it's really nice. So the hotel itself, though, is decked out. They always have a magnificent tree.
That's what
used
my
to
wife
be a real tree. And then a number of years ago, they said, to be environmentally conscious, we are now using alternative trees, not fake trees, mind you. Alternative trees.
Just be honest. You just wanted the 70% off at Michael's for all their Christmas trees over there. That's
there
all.
Right.
But no, I heard my wife told me about the tree, and it's so spectacular to look at.
It's really.
And she's in agreement with you, by the way. The live tree was much better than whatever
tree. Oh, of course. Now, we keep a fake tree in our home, but only because we like to leave it up a long time. My wife will celebrate Christmas all through the winter. You can't do that with a real tree because it gets brittle and becomes a safety hazard. However, in its own right, obviously, a real tree is better than a fake one.
Yes, and my wife's the same thing. As soon as November 1st hits, she goes, where's the tree farm? Let's get over there and let's get this set up.
I like to go from November all the way through the end of winter till March. So
I know there's this chemical you could put into your tree, like in terms of the watering part, and it can keep it a little bit longer. So I would suggest that to people, and it lasts quite a while.
And for that matter, there's something you could spray on a fake tree that'll give it the pine scent too.
So
it kind of works both ways.
I remember there was a funny gag. I can't remember what it was from, but they were like, man, we don't get that fresh scent. And then this person went to like a car store and bought all these pine scented air fresheners and just put it on the tree. Ah, much better.
That's great.
Yeah. So good times. Well, Bob, I had to say this, but we're at the end of our show already. I mean,
already.
This time flies fast.
Well, it was fun. It was a blast. And I hope you have a humdinger for Jim Barrier's return next week.
I'm telling you, I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, his retina surgery was very successful.
I was about to ask you.
Unfortunately, he had that done and it had to be done again, but he's doing well. I'm very glad for my friend. Very happy to have him on again next week.
So is he fully recovered or not just yet? He's getting there.
Well, probably on the mend, but he's recovered enough to pick up the phone and be on our show.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, again, Bob, thank you so much for letting me go over the local events. Yep. Everyone, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Thanksgiving if I don't happen to get on the air again. And we will see you guys next week. Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.